Hi, welcome to this ASI cast, in which our research director Richard Marks talks with Justin Sampson, the CEO of UK's television audience measurement service Barb, about the publication last month of their annual viewing report and the launch of the complementary quarterly TV landscape report. As Justin explains, there's been a proliferation of data sources seeking to provide insights into changing patterns of TV viewing, and the quality and reliability of some of these can generate more heat than light. Perhaps the main purpose of these publications is to cut through the hype and provide an account of what is really happening to TV viewing in the UK across all devices. Richard.
Well, welcome back to the ASI cast, Justin. I think it was ASI cast 6 back in last autumn we last spoke to you. The reason you're on this time is because you've just published the annual Barb viewing report. So could you just fill us in first on who it's prepared for, what the target market is, and how our listeners can get hold of it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's worth saying before actually addressing that specific question that while clearly Barb's fundamental role has to be the delivery each day of the objective information that our customers rely on, we have to be aware that as well as dealing with fragmenting audiences, we're also dealing with a proliferation of data sources. And this is contributing to some confusion within our customer base about the quality and value of different data sources. And this puts as much pressure on Barb to articulate the importance of what we do as much as we do what we do. So the viewing report is very much sits within that context, which is that we're trying to ensure that our customers are aware of what they can do with our data, understanding some of the issues around how our data fits in to the justification of advertising and marketing campaigns. I think it's one of the centerpieces in our communication strategy. And very importantly, given some of the questions around some of these newer data sources, we also try to cut through some of the hype that attracts many of the headlines. And we try to bring in a good sense of realism about what's actually happening in changing viewing behaviours. And we do have a hard copy, which we've sent to our customers. But for those who haven't got that, you can go to our website, barb.co.uk, and it's available on the main carousel on the homepage.
So there's obviously, as you referred, there's a lot of coverage about of TV trends and viewing and what kids are up to, and it can be a controversial area, not least because everyone has an agenda and when they're actually releasing these sorts of figures. But from your perspective, what would you say are the main trends coming through at a top line level in terms of viewing trends in the UK?
Well, from the Barb data, and it has been clear for a couple of years now that viewing is coming down from the very high levels that we saw earlier on in this decade. And I mean, I think that there'll be a number of reasons for that. And I mean, in previous years, we've been able to demonstrate that there's external factors at play, such as the weather. We also know that during a period of economic upturn, people are going to have less time available to watch TV, so that's going to have an effect. But we also clearly have to recognise what's going on with new forms of television, people being able to watch on desktops, laptops, tablets, not just the content that is made and distributed by our established broadcast customers, but also newer players, whether it be YouTube or Netflix. So we are seeing some declines in the viewing that we're reporting, and those declines are a little bit more pronounced among younger age groups. But I do stress that's in the viewing that we're reporting, and we're obviously working as hard as we can to be able to get trusted data, which allows us to put back into our reported viewing levels those bits of viewing that are taking place but that we're missing. So, for example, viewing on computers, we have got software meters in 40% of our panels now, although we're still checking the data to the standard that people would expect of BARB. And when we start getting to the point where we can report that, I would imagine that will act as something of a compensation for some of the declines that we've seen.
I mean, what you are able to report and is referred to in a separate section of the viewing report is obviously the what you call the TV player report data, which is the measures of actual usage, if not people, of streams on the main broadcaster players. I think when we spoke back in the autumn, that had just launched. I think it's been out for getting on for 8 or 9 months now. So how has that been received by the market generally, and what have been the main findings now that you've had quite a lot of data to look at?
I mean, the report's landed well, and I mean, it's in a beta format. There are still a number of player apps that we have to get the software code into so we can generate data from a comprehensive set of the TV players that people can use to watch their favorite programs. But we've got a lot of the main players coded up. We're seeing a lot of viewing taking place. But that said, I think online viewing is a phenomenon that's still in its infancy. So to just give a couple of examples, I think the high point that we've seen in terms of viewing via TV player apps is that towards the end of 2015, there was 1 week where there was 855 million minutes of viewing, which sounds like a big number. It's the sort of number that regularly attracts headlines for online content. But in the same week, people spend 95.2 billion minutes watching television programs on a TV set. So that kind of puts it into context, how big online viewing is. What we're seeing in terms of the most watched programs is that, when at a glance, it suggests that it's not entirely unexpected programs rising to the top. So soap operas, dramas that perform well regularly on TV also find their way into the top 10 online TV programs. I mean, there are some nuances. So there are programs like, for example, Made in Chelsea or The Only Way is Essex, which might not figure prominently in terms of overall rating levels on the TV, but they do quite well in terms of time-shifted viewing on the TV, and they also show up quite prominently in the TV player report.
Presumably it's also well-timed because in the UK, one of the BBC channels has recently moved to be effectively online only, although I think there are repeats of the shows on terrestrial, so presumably it's in place for BBC Three have been poring over the figures, I guess.
Yeah, and we have seen since BBC Three became an online only proposition, some of the programmes that they've been featuring prominently, such as Cuckoo and Life and Death Row, have been appearing quite high up on our TV player report. So it does show that there's also online-only content rising to the top. Yeah. What we've also been able to do is look at patterns of viewing, not necessarily by programmes, but time of day and device. And what we've been able to actually scotch is the myth that people are doing a lot of this watching on their phones during rush hour. I mean, there's little evidence that that's actually happening. What's actually far more obvious is that the viewing pattern through the day is very similar to the traditional TV viewing pattern. So it builds through the day, and there's an evening peak, although the evening peak's a bit later. It's kind of after 9 o'clock rather than sort of 8 to 9, and it goes on a bit later into the night as well. So I'm kind of getting this picture of people lying in bed watching late night telly on a tablet. And smartphones aren't used that much. Tablets are far more popular, as are laptops, desktops. One last thing is that while Android as an operating system dominates sales of smartphones and tablets, the data shows clearly that Apple actually dominates online TV viewing for the TV player apps. There's about four times as much viewing through Apple's iOS platform. Yeah, and Android.
This is something you referred to back in October, and I was thinking about this in terms of, I think you at the time you said it wasn't sure whether it was something inherent in Apple users or the Apple system that made it more usable, or whether there were demographic factors in play. But that has come through in a couple of other surveys recently as well, that there seems to be a higher that Apple people using iOS devices just seem to use them more, perhaps because they've spent three times as much on them as people on Android devices often. But it's interesting to see how that what further insights we get on that. Yeah. Obviously, one you mentioned the incidence of online viewing. The other thing the TV Player report does track, and it's been tracking for a few years, is the incidence of time shift, which I noticed was up by about just under 1%. So by my calculations, by 2053, live TV will have been overtaken by time shift. Or in reality, are we hitting some sort of a glass ceiling, do you think, in terms of the amount of time shift there's likely to be versus non-linear television?
I think there is going to be a ceiling. And actually, what's interesting is when you look at time shifted viewing over, in homes that have a TV recorder of some type, so you actually track those homes over time, the amount of viewing in those homes that's time shifted is relatively stable. There's some growth, but over the last 10 years it's grown from just over 15% of their viewing to just under 20%. So I think that reinforces that live TV has still got a lot going for it, even in homes that have been time shifting for quite a long lot of time. And actually, something else that has come out of work done recently by Thinkbox is that they've sort of brought to life that actually, if you look at the time shifted viewing data, it's clear that what drives it is genre and not a desire to avoid the ads. So we've got the opportunity here in the UK to look at time shifted on the commercial channels and compare that with BBC, which is ad free, and we can actually see there's more time shifted viewing of BBC drama, which is ad free, than there is of commercial drama, which just brings to life that the time shifting is driven by very much content rather than, as I say, a desire to skip the ads.
There's a really interesting interview with Chris Chibnall, who wrote Broadchurch about a year ago, saying that he couldn't imagine it working on a BBC channel because he deliberately written it as four acts that had a cliffhanger at the end of each act, and you needed the ad break to recover almost and speculate. It's almost like a deliberately had that narrative pause you get in American shows where something dramatic happens and they pause to black and then come back on again. But
I think Shakespeare made a couple of good stories like that, didn't he?
Yeah, Shakespeare is very aware of his advertisers, I hear. And a good mention in his 400th anniversary. But just to wind up, obviously one of the things that Barb is working on is tying all this data together, as in the TV Player report and the TV set viewing via the next stage of Dovetail. There's an update in the report for people who want to see that in detail, but broadly what stage are you at in that process now?
Well, I think I'd highlight three things. Firstly, we have to get the right data fusion approach. It's a major priority, and we've talked in the past about how we've been speaking to a number of companies about how they might help us do that. And we're now just over halfway through a phase where two research agencies are developing prototype fusion approaches for us, and we're in the process of assessing them, and we hope to have clarity on that part of Dovetail during the autumn. A second priority for us is establishing which other data sources we might be able to use as well. I mean, many people have kind of associated Dovetail with bringing the online census viewing data together with the Barb panel, but we're also very interested in return path data from set-top boxes, and we've done some pilot work with data from Sky Home. Sky is the major satellite provider in the UK, and we're aiming to do more pilot work this year with Sky and hopefully with other platform operators. And the third area of interest is we don't believe we would be able to get return path data from across the whole universe. So we're also interested in the model that is being followed in Italy, where they're augmenting their core people meter panel with a what we call a set meter panel. In Italy, I think they call it a super panel, where a meter is installed in 10,000 homes, but it doesn't require the panel members to register. So it effectively generates a form of device data, which can be another input into a dovetail type approach, where you're using device data to deliver more robust findings that can be integrated with the people observations we get from our core panel. So those are three things that are occupying our minds at the moment.
And then finally, you've just also, I think last month, you published what I think is a quarterly initiative called the Landscape Report, which again is something you can access from the Barb website. Do you want to give us an idea of how that, if you forgive the pun, dovetails with the viewing report?
Actually, a lot of our customers were telling us that we need to do a better job of bringing to life the rich insights that exist in our establishment survey. So each year we interview over 53,000 people for the establishment survey, and the results are vital to help us understand the shifting landscape that we have to monitor, whilst it also provides a source of new panel homes and also details for our waiting scheme. But the insight we gather into not just changing demographics, but the ways in which people can watch television, which devices they've got, is a tremendously rich source of information to be able to track how people can watch television rather than how they do watch television. And so the idea behind the Landscape Report is, as you say, it's quarterly, and in each edition we'll focus on two or three features. So in the first edition we looked at the question that everybody's asking, which is Netflix taking over? And so we looked at the rate of growth in claimed levels of subscription to SVOD services. We also had a feature on the trend in homes that don't own TV and trying to understand what characterises those homes compared to homes that do still have a TV. So it's not about exactly how people are viewing, it's more sort of bringing to life the context within which television viewing takes place. And we're also going to have lots of tracker articles so people can keep an eye on trends, whether it be number of devices people have in each home, or I think the Netflix subscription levels will be one of the trackers from the next report on. So the distinction with the viewing report is the Landscape Report is very much about the environment, and the viewing report is how people are actually viewing.
And what time period is the Landscape Report summarizing? Is it the last quarter or the last year? Or
it will be quarterly. I mean, the first one we issued had a bit of a sort of an annual look back at 2015, but from here on it'll allow people to look quarter on quarter. And as you say, this is an online only report, and if you're a Barb subscriber, once you've signed into our website, there's some interactivity in some of the graphics, so that I wouldn't quite go so far as to say it's a dashboard, but it allows you to sort of change some of the variables, and it changes the chart so you can look at things in different ways.
Cool. Well, we'll put links to both of those up along with the show notes on the site.
Thank you.
And thanks for making the time to speak. So, by my calculations, we'll be speaking to you next round about ASI Cast 48 or something like that.
So, I look forward to it.
Hopefully, you'll be free round about then to give us further updates. So, thanks for your time, Justin.
Thanks, Richard.